Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey folks, so the Lakers Legacy podcast will be taking a short break for Thanksgiving, and we wanted to make sure that you guys didn't miss a beat with regards to your weekly dose of the Lakers Legacy podcast. So as such, we are pushing out this previously recorded episode where Tommy and I go through a slew of potential wing options that the Lakers could look at if they ever decide to trade Talen Horton-Tucker. I know the timing of this sounds weird. We recorded this, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago before Talen Horton-Tucker had even returned, but we are doing our due diligence. We are exhausting all of our options. This Lakers season has been an absolute slog. And so honestly, we're also starting to get a little burned out a bit covering this team. If you appreciate the work that we do, please drop us a 5-star rating and review on the Apple Podcast app, and maybe we'll be motivated, unlike the Lakers, to hop back on this mic to further assess where we're going as a team. And so this next episode will be an evergreen episode talking about 3-and-D wing options that the Lakers could trade for using their one silver bullet in Talen Horton-Tucker. This does not reflect our own opinions of wanting to trade THT. In fact, I would personally advise against it because we need to start building our future out post-LeBron. But this is the podcast to listen to if you want to take an early look at who could be available via the trade deadline if and when the Lakers do decide that they need extra wing help. And THT is the sacrificial goat that they need to use in order to get that wing. All right, with that said, hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving, and we'll catch you guys sometime after that. Go Lakers. All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy podcast, where if you like it, then you should have put a wing on it.
Oh.
And by it, I'm talking about a championship, and by wing, I'm talking about, well, a legit NBA wing, preferably 6'8 or taller with a 7-foot wingspan who can play defense.
Hey.
I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez. I'm joined by my co-host, Tommy Alexander. Today's episode will sort of be an off-topic, or maybe on-topic, sort of evergreen Lakers Legacy podcast episode. It's going to be different in the sense that we're not going to start things off by being too time-sensitive and relevant to whatever is going on game-wise for the Lakers, but we will be talking about a subject that, as we approach the trade deadline and eventually integrate a hopefully healthier THT once he returns, may become relevant then. So with that said, this episode is going to be me throwing out some Talen Horton-Tucker for TBD wing trades, and Tommy giving us his thoughts and reactions to that. Oh, damn is right. So I want to caveat all this by saying we don't want to trade THT. If we had it our way, THT would stay on this team with us for the next decade, help bridge the gap between LeBron and AD when LeBron retires, and he'll become our next great primary ball handler and scorer into the new era. But the reality is, that may not happen. And as we've seen from this front office, they are not scared at all to pull the trigger on some trades to help their chances to win now, even if it hamstrings them in the future. So, in preparing for that possible scenario, and also given the reality that the Lakers are so dearth in the area of 6'8 wings and will likely be scouring the market, whether it's the buyout market or the trade market, for more of those wings down the line, that is why we're doing this segment. Okay, quick addendum before we start rattling off these THT for wing trade proposals. This is future Jonathan and future Tommy dropping into the past slash present as you listen to this to add this addendum. So Tommy, I know there's been some, I don't think I needed to explain that, but I'm going to anyways. I don't know if you've been hearing about this stuff, but I know around Lakers Twitter, there's been some scuttlebutt surrounding THT for Cam Reddish. Have you heard this?
Whoa, I have not actually, have not heard this.
So before we sat down and I compiled my list of trade proposals for THT, I actually had the Hawks as a potential trade partner. I just scratched it out last minute. But since this talk has been, you know, going on in Lakers Twitter, I decided to bring it back. So yeah, people are proposing, oh, let's trade THT for Cam Reddish because Cam Reddish got a little bit of run last year during the playoffs and looked pretty good. This year, he started off strong. He's shooting threes a lot. He's got I think he's shooting pretty good percentage from three-point land. And in general, Cam Reddish is a 6'7", 7'1" wingspan wing, prototypical wing, 22 years old. He's a former top 10 lotto pick in the same draft as THT in 2009. So there are some enticing 19. Reasons... Sorry, 2019. Did I say 2009?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cam Reddish is that old. He's got so much potential still. But anyways, yes, that's the deal that people are throwing around. THT for Cam Reddish. Now, I just want to say that I don't think this is realistic for either party.
Yeah.
So from Atlanta's end, it doesn't make sense because one, this year, they're actually giving Cam Reddish the green light to do whatever he wants off the bench to the point where they're DNPing or resting Kevin Huerter. And actually a lot of Hawks, like beat writers and stuff, when asked whether they think the Hawks are going to prioritize DeAndre Hunter or Reddish moving forward, have gone out and said they're going to prioritize Reddish over Hunter. So that's one reason why it's probably not realistic from Atlanta's end. And I think in general, it's probably good to note that we probably value THT much higher than the rest of the league does in general. So, and this is definitely one of those cases. And on top of that, just like practically, Reddish is more cost controlled than THT is, since Atlanta determines his fate in the 20... Atlanta determines his fate from 2021 this year through 2024, whereas THT actually has a player option after next year and can bounce, where Atlanta can keep giving him his qualifying offer, make him a restricted free agent, et cetera, right? So from Atlanta's end, those are two main reasons why they likely won't want to receive THT and give up Cam Reddish. Now, from the Lakers' end, I also don't think the Lakers will do it. Do you know why? Because I think Cam Reddish, as you know, as much promise as he's shown this year and even last year in the playoffs, he's still as raw as it gets. And I don't think, given Frank Vogel's defense, complicated defensive system, you factor in the bright lights of LA and just naturally like Cam Reddish's lack of continuity with like LeBron James, AD, the coaching staff, etc. It wouldn't make sense to me to trade THT and bring on Cam Reddish, even though the potential is high. Because I don't think Cam Reddish would be ready to contribute this year. And his good three-point shooting percentage in Atlanta is likely not going to translate to the bright lights of Staples Center. And yeah, I don't think Frank Vogel is going to trust him defensively as well. Even though he has like the physical tools to be a good wing defender, I just see that as a disaster potentially. So that's why I think the Lakers won't do it. So from both ends, I don't think that the trade is realistic. And I just wanted to, you know, caveat that point before we bring up some of these more realistic THT trade proposals, and I put that in quotes still, but I think the THT for Cam Reddish thing is definitely more unrealistic than even the ones we're about to bring up. And if anything, the Atlanta wing that the Lakers should want, and I think is more realistic, would probably be DeAndre Hunter, because he's the more experienced guy with a smarter b-ball IQ, etc. But again, I don't think Atlanta would do that. So just your quick thoughts on the THT Cam Reddish talk.
So it's interesting, and it's funny because if you asked me this question like 6 months ago, I would have been like, what are you smoking? There's no way.
You hated Cam Reddish as a prospect, I know.
I hated him in the draft. You know, he obviously his first 2 years in the league kind of proved me right in some ways. I mean, he put up some certain counting stats, I guess, and he always had the measurables, but he shot 33% from three as a rookie. Okay, maybe as a rookie, whatever. He shot 26%. Last year, granted, I think he was dealing with injuries for most of the season. You mentioned he got some run in the playoffs, and he's a third-year player, 22 years old, kind of taking that leap that you see a lot of young players mm-hmm. take. It's a very small sample size, but he off the bench is averaging in 25 minutes a game 16 points on 45% from the field and 44% from three. The reason you kind of feel confident that maybe his shot is not totally broken is he's consistently hit over 80% from the free throw line and his career so far. I think you're right that we as Laker fans probably overrate THT a bit. Now, it remains to be seen where THT, ends up this year, because this is THT's like third year, big potential leap year that you see a lot of these young guys take. THT is a little bit younger. He's got the crazy measurables that, you don't really see in too many guards in the NBA. But we probably do overrate him. You pointed out all the stuff about Cam Reddish that is relevant here. The big ones being he's 6'8". He just looks like an NBA wing. You know what I mean? He's like he's like a tall 6'8". If you know what I'm saying, like this dude looks 6'8",
yeah.
Super long, extremely, extremely athletic. And if you can get a guy like this who can hit threes, I mean, guys like this don't like grow on trees. It's funny because a scout compared him when he was being drafted to, maybe this guy could be a potential Paul yep. George type of player. And I remember just laughing my ass off because I saw this guy play at Duke and he was horrific. And I mean, like, his shot, I mean, yeah, it's like the measurables, right? But we see lots of guys come in with measurables like this, and I don't know who that guy is, but I think it might've been a current coach. That dude should be given like some sort of raise if Cam Reddish is able to keep this up. But
yeah,
Cam Reddish, you can kind of see him on the trajectory to becoming an elite, 3-and-D type. I won't even call him 3-and-D because he could do a bit more than that. But one of the more elite type wings in this league, and playing next to Trae Young, you're going to need guys with size who can defend. So he's going to be like invaluable to that team. So, and then, like you said, from the other side, THT, he has a familiarity with us and we've seen firsthand the upside. So maybe we do overrate him, but maybe we overrate him because we've seen this type of, not Cam Reddit, but this type of like potential to see like, okay, as a third year player, he might take that next step. So remains to be seen. He's at a disadvantage because he hasn't played this year, but
true.
That's kind of my thoughts.
Yeah. I think if you take into context each of their situations with the team and just even just the reality of THT knowing what type of coach Vogel is and knowing that the only way he's going to get consistent playing time is by playing defense. Like that weighs a lot, Cam Reddish is coming in here and he's like, okay, what the hell am I supposed to do? Am I just supposed to jack up a bunch of threes? Like, no, you got to play defense too. So, So with that said, just wanted to get that Cam Reddish for THT caveat out of the way. Now we can move on to all of my THT for wing trade proposals. And so let's do that. So Tommy, are you ready?
Let's go.
All right. First trade proposal. Talen Horton-Tucker for, I already teased this to you before, so you can just give me your more of your expanded thoughts on this, but I kind of looked for teams who maybe mid-season already know that their playoff chances are shot or may just want to go a different direction. So I looked for wings in that department, and THT kind of can straddle both lines. Maybe he's not a championship-ready player, but he can still help a competitive team out. But for the purposes of this exercise, I was like, okay, I'll just look for teams who are leaning more towards, we're probably not going to make the playoffs, so let's look to the future. THT is on a $10 million contract. He'll be due $10 million next year, and then I think has a player option for the third year. So he's not exactly a long-term type player, but that's enough time for a team to evaluate him properly and see if he fits in their long-term plans. So with that said, trade option one, THT and whatever salary filler you need for the Sacramento Kings, Harrison Barnes, 29 years old, 6'8", 6'11 wingspan. He's due $20 million this year, $18 million next year. Maybe you can get them to throw in Marvin Bagley if you can cull up enough salary, but for the most part, it's THT for Harrison Barnes. Your thoughts? Given the start of his season, it's debatable whether or not the Kings would actually give up Harrison Barnes because the dude is like averaging 28 points, hitting 5 threes a game, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But if you look more to what he did last season, 16 points, sort of guy, but he has quietly been a pretty consistent 40% three-point shooter. Now, I'm going to be transparent and say I don't really know how he is defensively, but just the fact that he's 6'8 and has a 6'11 wingspan and can hit an outside shot works enough for me. So what are your thoughts on that deal?
So I think I would definitely do it. I do not think the Kings would do it. But I don't know. Like you said, to your point, it's if the Kings are thinking long-term, like obviously Harrison Barnes is good. He's, you know, 29 years old, but that's not exactly the same timeline that De'Aaron Fox, Davion Mitchell, Halliburton, those types of guys, maybe even Bagley, if he gets back in the rotation, you know, those types of guys are on necessarily. THT is on pretty much exactly the same timeline as those guys. Because of his size and his length, he's not like a clash with those guys. He could slot right in as like a wing for that team. I don't think it happens for two reasons. Number one, I think if the Kings made Harrison Barnes available, and I'm not even thinking about just his shots or his scoring and efficiency so far this year, but if they made him available, I actually think they could get some pretty good assets for him. Like with the way that contracts have gone in recent years, it's pretty easy actually to get. It's like, I remember when Harrison Barnes first signed this contract, it seemed like a lot. I vaguely recall people thinking like that was a pretty high contract, but now it's like, you know, you sign a dude to slightly more than the MLE for $12 million. And that's a veteran to throw in with like a young player on a rookie deal and make a trade that's maybe more than we can offer. But, you know, I do think that if we were offered it, another reason it might not work is THT is $10 million, like you said. I think we would have to include Kendrick Nunn. And at some point, you're just, maybe we have Kendrick Nunn going to a third team. I don't know. But at some point, you're just like burning a little bit too much depth. Mm. But one thing I will say about Harrison Barnes that is underrated about him is, you know, he got a lot of flack early in his career because of the, I think he missed some pretty big shots in games for the Golden State Warriors. It's like a very young player in the playoffs. He's consistently the last couple of years been, or last few years really been high 30s, or he hit 40% 1 year from three. He does not turn the ball over for somebody who like isn't this involved in the offense, dude. He's a career 1.2 turnovers per game. And yeah,
that's insane in this day and age.
I mean, it's like he doesn't get a ton of assists, right? So if you're thinking about ratio, it's okay. He's better than 1-to-1, obviously, but
you,
it's not
you don't
like
need a guy to do that on this team.
But exactly. I guess what I'm saying is like for a dude who averages at least a consistent like 11 shots a game, clearly has the ball in his hand sometimes, you know, is dribbling, is getting rebounds, like is like getting some assists, like at least a couple a game and doing all these different things. He only averages like that many assists. Last year he averaged 1.6, the year before that 1.2, 1.1 the year before that. I mean, he has some really low assist games for how many minutes he's on, or excuse me, turnover games for how many minutes he's on the floor. So underrated part of Harrison Barnes' game that I think would be perfect on a team like this where you, when you get the ball and it's not in Russ and LeBron's hands, you don't want to mess it up, you know?
Yeah. So I agree with you. It's probably not realistic that the Kings would do it, but if they were, I guess we both would say, yeah, take a swing at it, you know? Here's my second trade. We have to put everything I propose under the context that I just laid out, where maybe it's not as realistic that the other team would do it, but let's just say they're willing to take THT on, which is not that hard to twist another team's arm to be like, hey, take a flyer on THT, one of the most unique prospects that we've had in the game. That's a little hyperbole. But anyways, my second trade proposal to you is, and I know this is overreaction to what's happened to them at the start of the season, but let's just roll with it, okay? THT for
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, close. THT for Portland Trailblazer, Robert Covington, and Anfernee Simons. So we get to throw in a little bit of a young guy, too, to make up for the THT loss while also gaining experience with Robert Covington. 6'7", 6'8", 7'2" wingspan. He's an expiring $12.9 million this year. Anfernee Simons is making $3.9 million this year. And I think they have his rookie qualifying offer to offer him $5.7 next year. But regardless, that's the deal. THT for Roko and Anfernee Simons. To me, it's like, oh, we still got a flyer on a sort of youngish guy who can shoot the ball a little bit, can get sort of microwave hot from the bench. And most of all, you get your 3-and-D defensive wing stopper, of which Robert Covington has pretty much created that template. Your thoughts on that deal?
This one is interesting because, like you said, there's a big overlying assumption here that Portland is that out of the race that they're kind of thinking forward to, you know, what's not the best team that could win this year, but what are we going to do moving forward? And I guess if they're thinking from the perspective of like, okay, there's a decent chance, you know, Damian Lillard is going to demand a trade, or we're going to have to trade CJ, or we're going to have to potentially blow up this core in some way soon here. THT gets you like a very reasonably contract, very reasonably sized contract young player on your team to be a part of that sort of rebuild. I mean, you got some young pieces here to work with, like Larry Nance. I guess, like in your proposal, we'd get Anfernee Simons. You know, they've got Norman Powell, who I can't remember how old he is actually, but you know, they've got some options here to kind of put some pieces together for a rebuild. And Robert Covington is on an expiring contract, and I do not see that dude landing a deal back on this team next year. I mean, it's just looking at their numbers for next year. If everybody opts in, they're already at $118 million. You know what I mean? And how many teams is this year going to, how many years in a row is this team going to pay like crazy high luxury tax to not really be competitive? So I don't know. I think there is an angle for Portland doing it. I think if anything, the interesting angle is for us in that, what do we do? Like Robert Covington for THT is so clearly a win now move. You're kind of burning your future a little bit. You know what I mean? And what do you do after the season? It's like, is it a rental, or do you think you can retain this dude for like a reasonable deal? But what does a reasonable deal look like? Cause you also have Russ, who's going to be a free agent. I mean, there's like, that for that reason, I think if you're getting rid of THT for anyone, you can make a really strong argument that whoever you're taking back, that person has to have at least 2 years on their deal.
Yeah, that's fair. So I'm with you in terms of, I don't think I'm doing this deal, even though your chances of winning this year are probably a lot higher, I feel like. But yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, before we move forward with the rest of our juicy THT for wing trade proposals, first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so we are back, and future Jonathan and Tommy are adding another addendum to this episode by bringing up a trade that I hadn't initially posed during the time of our first recording, but now after thinking about it, have decided to retroactively include, just because I think it makes a lot of realistic sense for both sides. And this is a trade that I texted Tommy over the weekend. There's a lot of exposition that you probably don't need to know, but it doesn't matter. So Tommy, before I move on with the rest of these trade proposals, here is our addendum, one of our addendum deals. You ready for this?
Yes.
Talen Horton-Tucker for the Process Sixers, Matisse Thybulle, and Danny Green to make the salaries work. So a return, a ex-Laker returning once again, sort of redemption story. Now, Matisse Thybulle is making $2.8 million this year, $4.3 million next year. Danny Green is making $10 million this year and a non-guaranteed $10 million next year. So he's essentially an expiring, and you put both of them together, that's pretty much, you know, THT's $10 million. Matisse is 6'5 with a 7-foot wingspan, and that is very impressive. On top of that, though, he's built like an ox. He's always had this NBA-ready body, even after being drafted by the Sixers, I think number 20 in the first round. He is a steals and blocks specialist. He's currently on the season averaging 2.4 steals and 1.4 blocks. He's a lockdown wing defender. Do we wish he was 6'8? Sure, but I mean, he makes up for it with a 7-foot wingspan. Comparably, THT is 6'5 with a 7'1 wingspan. So the fact that he has an inch on Matisse is crazy. But regardless, outside of that, Matisse also can hit an occasional super wide open three. In my opinion, he's like the less proficient three-point shooting Robert Covington. He hit 0.9 threes on 35% three-point shooting his rookie year, and then 0.7 threes on 30% shooting last year. So, you know, maybe there's some hope there. But regardless, you're getting him for his defense. And obviously, in this proposal, you're getting Danny Green back, so that helps as well in terms of just 3-and-D shooting in some capacity. We know he's going to be inconsistent. But yeah, what are your thoughts on THT for Matisse Thybulle? Because to me, it makes sense for both sides, especially given the fact that the Philadelphia 76ers are looking for any sort of primary ball handling creation they can get in light of Ben Simmons just not playing.
Well, I thought the Sixers are building around Matisse Thybulle and Andre Drummond now. Is that not right?
That's kind of true, actually. Andre Drummond had like 17 rebounds the other day and like 5 assists, and I don't know, it was crazy.
He had an insane line. I think this one is an interesting one because I think this is an example of kind of both fan bases overrating their own guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's truly hard, and I can't say, I don't want to offend any Sixers fans, the one Sixer fan who's bored and listening to our podcast for some reason. But, you know, I just, Matisse Thybulle, I think, is sort of infamous at this point because he's like allegedly, wasn't he like allegedly like one of the guys that Morey refused to throw in a potential James Harden trade, and everybody, and he got like mocked for it. So, you know that Philly is like super high on Thybulle. But that said, it's like, you know what he brings defensively? He just does not bring that much else. He's 3.5 or so years older than THT. Maybe you make an argument he has a little less upside for that reason. His measurables are actually not that different than THT. And again, it's like, where is THT going to be in 3 years? I guess the main benefit you get from Thybulle is, you know, because he was a first-round pick, I suppose you could lock him up. You know, he's going to be a restricted free agent. You were talking before about, we really only have THT for like 2 seasons, and then he can opt out. And I mean, there are some benefits, I guess, right? But THT has a lot of offensive versatility, and we don't know yet where his defense is going to go. If he can elevate his defense, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Thybulle, because I think Thybulle is up there in like the Caruso stratosphere of like good perimeter defenders, and Ben Simmons, I mean, literally he is like that level.
Yeah.
So there's like obviously some value to that. But if THT can become a above average defender, but give you a ton more on offense, you know, he's got the length and all that stuff. I don't know. I think I probably lean on the side of not doing this one. Danny Green doesn't really move the needle for us right now. In my opinion, just because, I don't know, we have more depth at guard, and we have guys like Bazemore who can give us some defense and defend. And maybe Danny, you know, it might be helpful if we were getting back like a 6'8" guy who maybe had more plug and play value for us this year, as opposed to a guy like Danny Green. So I don't know. I think I would probably say no, but I think Sixers fans would probably also say no. So I'm
on the fence about this one, because I think I'd actually do it just because Matisse, he's super athletic too. So even though he doesn't technically bring anything on the other end, like if you think about like the playmakers that we have, like this is a guy that could feast off of them, and he's a good finisher. I'm just thinking about the, you know, transition possibilities, the lob possibilities to this guy, outside of just him being a lockdown defender that you like, and pit bull that you can sick on any perimeter guy. I feel like there's some upside with regards to him being that cutting, finishing specialist. And I do think, I mean, his 3-point shot is not totally broken. If you think about Larry Nance, he started off at an even worse baseline than Matisse, where he wasn't even taking threes, first of all. So Matisse taking 0.9, 0.7 threes, or making 0.9, 0.7 threes in his first 2 years is encouraging to me. And I think there's some potential there as he continues to grow in becoming one of, like, literally, if he just hones in that shot, like, then he becomes Robert Covington. Right now, I know that's, you know, tacking on a lot of ifs and ands and buts, but that's kind of like what you'd hope for if you did this trade. But it's close. It's close. Speaking of that, quick tangent onto, I know, before the break, we talked about a THT for Robert Covington and Anfernee Simons deal. And I just mentioned his name in reference to Matisse Thybulle, but what are your thoughts on a revised version of the Rocco-Anfernee Simons deal with Portland, but just swap out Robert Covington for Larry Nance Jr.? Yeah. So Larry Nance Jr. is 3 years younger, more athletic, got more bounce in his step, obviously. He's making $10 million this year, only $9 million next year. He's obviously not as proficient a three-point shooter as Rocco, but he's currently better than Thybulle, and over the last few years, he's actually turned into a guy who hits 1-3 a game at a 35-36% clip. To me, that'll do when what you're really looking for from Larry Nance is his activity on defense, his finishing, lob threat ability, And to me, I envision him, he would just be a very nice, switchy guy to have, and can also rebound and pass well as well. So yeah, what are your thoughts on Larry Nance Jr. and Anfernee Simons?
Yeah, so this one is definitely interesting to me. And I, you know, the only person who can really answer the question here of whether this is worth it is somebody who really has a good sense of what THT's upside is. Because on paper, like, if you're thinking about the roster today, Larry Nance Jr. makes a ton of sense. He fits in as that, like, 6'8", you know, type dude with some decent length and athleticism who could play forward in defensive lineups when we maybe, you know, for whatever reason, don't want to use Melo. You know, LeBron needs a rest, or what, you know, you want to push LeBron down to the three. He can switch spots with LeBron on the defensive end. They could switch everything. He could defend centers on switches. He's not a bad defender against guards. He's a good rebounding forward. He gets a lot of steals, has great hands. He can pass the ball. I mean, he's a really solid player. And It's now been 2 years in a row that he's hit mid-30s plus from three, right? So he's clearly, like, developed that aspect of his game quite a bit. He has familiarity with the team, maybe obviously not this coaching staff, but, you know, with the team generally from his first 3 years, you know, on the team and in the league, I should say. I'm pretty interested by this one, but again, it's like Larry Nance Jr. is 29, THT is, I think, turning 20, hasn't even turned 21 yet, or is turning 21 this month or something. So that's a huge difference. Like, you know what I mean? And yeah, it's like Larry Nance is probably going to be cheaper for you moving forward. But where do you see THT's upside on a team that has, like, so many picks traded away and, you know, has taken the position that we are going to move picks to help us win now? It's like, you only get so many of these guys you can kind of hold on to as potential high, like, super high upside type plays, and maybe THT is one of those for us. But I'm interested by this one, I'll say that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, the question you have to keep asking yourself is win now or for the future. And sometimes the future gets kind of muddled with the fact that you have Russell Westbrook, right? If THT doesn't evolve in terms of his off-ball play, continuing to be a good cutter, continuing to be a good shooter, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes you kind of just have to cut bait for something with a little less upside but a better fit for your team, especially if you are a team like the Lakers who are trying to win championships. So, okay, let's move on to our other options. All right, moving on to my number three deal. This one is probably my kind of quirkiest one, so I'm interested to hear your thoughts. THT for the Oklahoma City Thunder's Lu Dort and Derek Favors. So this is an interesting deal because of it kind of kills two birds with one stone, or I guess one big bird with two stones, since there are two players here. Regardless, you know what I'm saying, because it's killing two birds in the sense that we get our defensive stopper, Lu Dort. He's 22 years old. He's only 6'4", 6'5", but he does have a 6'8 wingspan and is built like a bull, and he hangs his name on defense. Offensively, woo boy, this guy averaged 14 points last year on 38% from the field, but he did hit 34% from three and did make 2.2 a game, so there's volume there. But regardless, you're getting him for his stout defense. And then with Derek Favors, who's going to be a throw-in in this deal, he's making $9 million this year with a $10 million player option next year. So granted, he'd probably take that. But he's a much better option than DeAndre as a true big man guy who can also at least hit a mid-range jump shot. So in that sense, it's like, okay, we get rid of the DeAndre problem. And if we're going to swap anybody for THT, we get the defensive-minded version of him. What are your thoughts on this? I think I'm kind of selling way too low, but it's just interesting to nibble at.
It's interesting. So, but again, I don't know if I put this in quite the same category. I think here's the thing. When you're dealing with guys who are 20, 22 years old, I think you have to lean on the guy who has the most upside. You know what I mean? And maybe you could make an argument that for this year's team, Lu Dort maybe has a better fit than THT in terms of, we don't really need as many ball handlers, guys who can create plays or, you know, create their own shot this year as we have in previous years. THT is not a bad defender. Hopefully has taken a leap there, but, like, Lu Dort has quickly become, like, one of the top defenders in the league, like, you know, in his time, or at least in terms of how much activity he exerts on that end. So, you know, and brings a strength and length dynamic that we're maybe lacking a little bit. But all that said, these are 20, 22-year-old guys. You got to go with the person who's more likely to be a home run, just like the, you know, NBA draft lottery, because these guys could be like NBA draft picks right now, right? So, you know, you got to go with THT, and so I think you keep THT. I wouldn't do that trade.
Yeah, ultimately, I agree with you. Okay, this is kind of similar in that we get two players back. THT for the Charlotte Hornets, Kelly Oubre, $12 million this year, $12.6 million next year, and PJ Washington, former lottery, I think he was a lottery pick, or right outside of the lottery, but 13-6 last year, 39% from three, hitting two a game. He has a club option for $5 million next year, so you do have to sort of cull up some salary, maybe add a Kendrick Nunn. But PJ Washington becomes your new Markieff Morris, and he's still sort of young. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on THT for Kelly Oubre and PJ Washington? Kelly Oubre is wild, I know, but he gives you a 7-foot wingspan, 6'9 sort of guy.
Kelly Oubre, if you had the confidence that he was going to come here and like really lock in and play solid basketball, like championship quality basketball, then I think you got to go with him, just in terms of, I mean, obviously last season was a horrific output for him in terms of efficiency, but if he can hit you like mid 30s from three, which he's done, you know, at least once in his career, maybe twice, you know, he had a pretty decent year 1 year in Washington. If he can hit you like mid 30s from three, give you that length, you know, he averages about a steal a game over his career, get you some rebounds. Maybe he's averaged, you know, about 6 rebounds a game the last few years. He brings a little bit more to the table now than THT does. And he's like pretty young, and like the wing position is never not going to be a need. So I think you can make like a pretty decent argument for this one, especially because it's like, we only have THT really locked up for two more years too, including this year, because he's got a player option in his last year. So we don't know how much it's going to cost to retain him. Like, I don't know. Maybe this is something you take like a shot on, especially if you maybe have done some scouting on PJ Washington and he looks good. I'm not sure the Hornets would do this, honestly.
Yeah.
I would consider this trade for sure.
I'll tell you why the Hornets might do it, because right now PJ Washington is getting pinched out of their rotation because of how well Miles Bridges is playing. And Kelly Oubre too. Once everybody's healthy on that team, they've got LaMelo, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, Boog Knight, whatever his name is, you know? So that guy plays the wing position. Is it Boog Knight or Boog Knight? I don't know how to say that guy's name. I apologize.
Boog Knight.
But yeah, so these guys are sort of getting pinched out. And so if they want to take a better flyer on THT, if their playoff chances are sliding, it's like, yeah, let's get THT, and you can get two guys who are kind of superfluous to our roster anyways. So, did you say you would do it or you wouldn't do it?
I don't know if I'd do it, but I would definitely strongly consider it.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. I think I'm along the same lines as well. All right, so I saved the best trade proposal for last. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
If you had to take a guess, wild guess, is there anybody in your mind that you'd think that I would throw out there right now? You can just say no.
No.
Okay. Good.
Not Pascal Siakam, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
All right. Oh, that's, you know, the Raptors are not, that's an interesting. I actually didn't have that on my list, but that's interesting, actually. It's kind of similar, though. So for my last THT fantasy trade proposal, I
Kawhi?
Am going, huh?
No, go ahead.
What did you say?
I said Kawhi?
That'd be funny. No. All right. THT for the Detroit Pistons, Jeremy Grant. Uh-oh. Oh. 27 years old. Uh-oh, indeed. Making $20 million this year and $20 million next year. So he's essentially expiring next year. Obviously, we need to add none, whatever, whatever, with THT to come up with that $20 million salary. But in terms of a 3-and-D guy and a guy that we've met in the playoffs and fared pretty well against us, there's not many better options than Jeremy Grant. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, dude. It's an interesting one. And I think you could make an argument that the, you know, Pistons do this depending on how much salary they can shed, I guess. You know, how much they can, yeah, I guess shed if they're sending out 20 and we send THT and none. I don't know if that works from a cap perspective, but if they can save $3 or $4 million, I mean, this is a team that's probably going to be the worst team in the NBA, and they're at $124 million guaranteed in salary this year. So why not shave that down a little bit in a year that's, you know, probably not going to be super, super competitive. So it kind of makes sense, actually.
It makes a lot of sense.
For both teams. And I know the Pistons have Cade, but Cade is kind of, you know, a combo guard. And
isn't he like 6'7", 6'8"?
He's more like a Luka, I guess, is what people are projecting his play style to be. Like, I guess a bigger guard forward who has the ball in his hands a lot. I guess my point is he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. And, you know, if you put a combo guard out there too, that could be like a pretty interesting, like a bigger combo guard with length like THT, and you put him and, you know, kind of Cade at the wing or at the other guard spot, wherever, you know, they decide to start him. That gives you like two positions out of three already set, like you're going to have some length, you know what I mean? And size. And so that could be like an interesting look for the Pistons backcourt. They get THT on a pretty cheap deal to see how it kind of works out. You know, they might lose Jeremy Grant anyway. At least they'll have THT's like full bird rights and can give him anything. You know, obviously the same for Jeremy Grant, but again, when you're thinking of timelines, like Jeremy Grant is not old, but he's 27, and THT is more on Cade Cunningham's timeline than Jeremy Grant is. So this is one that is actually not totally crazy and would be completely insane if it happened, but I think I would do it.
Can you imagine like Jeremy Grant on this team? Because he's built pretty sturdily well as well. So it's like LeBron, Jeremy Grant, Dwight Howard.
Oh my God. Wait,
Anthony
could you
Davis.
Imagine AD at the five, Jeremy Grant at the four, LeBron? Like that front court would be so insane. And then you have Russ and then like Bays or whoever. You might not even need to put Bays. You could just put like Wayne.
Melo at the one. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
Melo at the two.
Yeah, Melo at the two or like whatever, dude. This lineup would account or, you know, correct for so many mistakes.
You know what's so funny? Melo at the two, it sounds outlandish, but if Jeremy Grant's there to provide that defense, AD at the five, Jeremy Grant at the four, LeBron at the three, Melo at the two, and Westbrook at the one is not that insane.
You know, Frank would experiment with it for sure.
I know. So right, needless to say, we would both do this deal. Yeah. So, I mean, that pretty much does it. Oh, I do have one last one. THT for Kyle Kuzma and Corey Kispert. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
No, I'm done. I'm as much of a Kyle Kuzma stan as I am. I'm done with the Kyle Kuzma experience, even though his template sort of fits. But I wouldn't give up THT for him, even if we're getting the next Joe Harris and Corey Kispert. With that said, that'll do it for this segment. I don't know if I have another segment coming after this where I talk about something more relevant with regards to a recent Lakers game that happened. But Tommy, thank you for joining me for this fantasy segment entitled "We're Trading THT for a Wing, Probably." All right, I'll let you go.
Peace.
Laters.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.